You know, thinking about that, just that principle, calling those things that be not as though they were. That's Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. But calling those things, let me rephrase that. That's actually Romans chapter 4. I'm sorry, I misquoted that, but it's Romans chapter 4 where Abraham called those things that be not as though they were. But we have a supporting scripture that faith calls those things that be not as though they were. And calls those things that be not. And so one of the things I was sharing in healing class, something that Charles Capps, and I remember I just fed on his material when I was a young Christian because words impacted me a lot. I just thought about it much as a young person. And I remember him speaking about how he liked to hunt and fish and he liked to go into the woods. And he said inevitably he would get poison ivy. And he talked about how Jesus said, "My words are spirit and life." And he began to look at the significance of God's word. And what he said was that when he would get poison ivy, he'd go to the, you know, go to the pharmacy, wherever, and get some calamine lotion and just put it all on his body. But what he would do is he, at the same time, he's speaking the word of God, the covenant of promises, the promises of God. He would speak and say, call those things what? That be not as though they were. Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law. And he would say, therefore, this poison ivy is a curse, and I'm redeemed from it. And I'm saying that, and he'd go on and say, every disease, every germ, and every virus that touches my body dies instantly. And he'd say, and he'd go on and say, every tissue and every organ of my body functions in the perfection that God created it to function in. And I forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus. For greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And he'd make these kind of confessions. But he'd say, I put that calamine lotion and I would just confess the word of God. He said it took 6 months. And he said he would literally go into the woods, grab the poison ivy, strip it down off the vine, and it would not affect him. What happened? The word, the life of God, got into him and repelled the sickness and disease, repelled the curse off of him, out of him. And we can walk in that because God is what? What does the scripture say? Hebrews 11 or 13, 8. Jesus Christ, the same. The word. Jesus is the word. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So that means if I get enough of God's word in me, then I'm going to walk in life and health. I'm going to walk in life and health. That means it means that I don't have to walk with sickness and disease. And that's why it's important to listen to the Holy Spirit, because he's gonna guide you. That's why I was looking up that scripture in Proverbs 3 in the Passion Translation, which was great, because it says in verse 7, it says, don't think for a moment that you know it all. For wisdom comes when you adore him with undivided devotion and avoid everything that's wrong. You know, the King James says, avoid that which is evil. And it says, then you will find healing refreshment your body and spirit long for. You know, the Amplified, it says, be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord and turn entirely away from evil. It will be health to your nerves and sinews and marrow and moistening to your bones. Oh, my goodness. So that means we can walk in life and health, but we're going to have to get what? the word, the life of God in us. And it will literally change what not only transform, you know when it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's his perfect will? That I walk redeemed, that I walk healthy, that I walk that I walk in this above the evil that's in the earth, right? So God's will is that I be whole and healthy. And so sickness is not the will of God. So when we look at John 3:16, let me get back over there, or 14, it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Hallelujah. So if we believe in him, we're not going to perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved just you and me. No, it says he loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, in Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So this word life, this word everlasting life, this word life is really the word, zoe, which means eternal life. It means resurrection life. It means that life that came into Jesus when he was resurrected from the dead. That resurrection life. It means, in other words, it means the life of the Son of God, eternal life. It means that it can swallow up, rule, and control our physical lives. That life can literally swallow up mortality that's in our life. It can swallow it up. You know, you ever hear the story about John G. Lake? And you hear his stories back in the 1800s when he was over in Africa, and they had the bubonic plague and people were dying all over, and he was over there, and they said, well, how come people came over from the States? They were reporters and they're saying, everybody's dying. How come you're not dying? Why isn't that affecting you? He said, because of the life of God. And he said, he challenged them. He said, take a little bit of that bloody froth that's coming out of that person that died. Take that. Put that on my hand and stick it under a microscope. And they showed that the diseased germ that was in his hand was dying because it touched his skin. It was full of life. It was full of life. It was repelling the curse. So that eternal life, when we received that eternal life in us, it can and should repel death and curse, right? What do I mean by death? I mean that which is perpetrated by death, sickness and disease. So sickness is, you know, when we say life can actually swallow up death, if this is true, then we can look at Psalm 27 and look at verse 1. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? He is my life. He is my strength. What am I going to be afraid of? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's turn over. I want to look at a few scriptures here this evening. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Sometimes it's good to meditate upon who's just really in me. His very nature, his life is in me. You know, that's what we were discussing in the previous class here on healing. We were talking about Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto thy sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are what? Life and health to some of your flesh, to all your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. So if we, when it talks about attending to something, when we attend to his word, we give it our undivided attention. That's our focus. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4, this is the King James. It says, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan. You know, we talk about this tabernacle, we're talking about this body, this outer shell that we have here. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Well, we go through life, there are burdens. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that what? Mortality might be what? Swallowed up of life. That word life is the same word we just got done reading in John 3:16. Eternal life, life, zoe. Swallowed up. Mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. I need to read this in a modern translation because it makes it a little clearer. The New Living. It says, while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. You know, that's not, we don't want to just die and get rid of these bodies. It says, rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. It's his life. His nature will literally swallow up the curse. How? His life, his nature, his Zoe life will swallow up those things that cause us to groan and sigh. What does it say? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, the word of God. That seed is in us now. And that word is full of life. And as we keep watering it, it's going to swallow up some things. It's going to swallow up some things in your life that maybe caused you to groan and sigh. Hallelujah. This is like Brother Hagin said, you've got to believe it. What's the scripture say in Romans 10? With the heart, man does what? Believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So you've got to begin to say and call those things that be not as though they were. You've got to begin to say, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It was purchased by his blood. And I forbid sickness and disease in my body. I forbid any kind of malfunction in my body because his blood has redeemed me from it. And I forbid it. Not somebody else. Now, if you want to get into agreement with somebody, that's fine. But walk in the authority that you've been given. John 6:63. What does he say? My words, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are what? Life, life, life. His words are life. Spirit and life. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. Romans 4:25. Sometimes I like reading from different translations. When you read this in the King James, it's not as clear. it doesn't give the full impact of it. I'll read it from the King James. It says, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Now listen to this. This is the New King James Version and the Young's Literal Translation. The New King James Version is a little clearer. It says, "Who was delivered up because of our offenses." He was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. He was in hell not because of his sins. He was in hell because of our sins. And when we were justified, when sin was paid for, he was released. And that's exactly what the Young's Literal Translation says. It says, "Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up because of our being declared righteous." The minute God said, sin has been paid for, let him go, because he was a substitute. That means, think about that, when you go to 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he hath made him to be" what? "To be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we" what? "We might be made the righteousness of God in him." So he was made sin for us. Who knew no sin? "That we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Well, we don't question that. We're tough to fight. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ because I've received him. I'm the righteousness of God. But a lot of times people are slow to say, "I've been redeemed from the curse of sickness and disease." Well, when he took your sickness, I mean, when he took your sin to hell and justice was paid for, God declared the whole world in his eye, legally, sin was paid for every person that ever was, would be, and everybody in their account, they've been freed from the curse of sin. They've been declared righteous. They have to believe it and confess it with their mouth. They have to say, "I believe what Jesus did for me. I believe that he went to hell with my sins. I believe that when it was paid, he was raised from the dead for me. And so I declare him Lord of my life, and I declare that I've been made righteous." And you declare that with your mouth and believe it in your heart, then you are born again. You are saved. And that eternal life comes in and does what? It recreates your spirit, makes you a brand new person on the inside. But the same thing holds true. I heard Brother Hagin talk about this. He said way back in, you know, back in the early days, and he said when they had tent meetings, Methodist meetings, people came to the altar not only to receive Christ as their Savior, but they came to the altar to receive Christ and confess him as his healer, as their healer. I think that's something we may need to consider doing, you know, that people are just saying, "Well, you know, I believe." No, if you believe that you've been made righteous, what does that mean? You don't go up and say, "Oh God, please save me again." When you believe Jesus is your healer and you receive him as your healer, what does that mean? That means I received him and he is my healer. And as far as I'm concerned, I am the healed. And the more I decree that what does that mean? That means his life, his word is coming in and doing what? Causing sickness and disease. Life comes in my spirit and changes situations. And I begin to do what? Call those things that be not as though they were. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. For me, what it means, I don't know about you, But when we believe the word of God and we begin to confess it, then I'm moved by the word of God and not my circumstances. I begin to say every day, I believe that my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and I'm calling it healed. I call every tissue, every cell of my body functions in the perfection that God made it to function in. And you begin to decree and call those things. What does that mean? I say every tissue of my body functions normally, and I forbid any malfunction in my body. And I decree that every sickness and disease that touches my body dies instantly in the name of Jesus. That's walking in authority. That's walking in saying, in the name of Jesus, I decree that my body functions normally. And you begin to put those scriptures down in your heart. I know a few times when alarming symptoms have come on my body, I didn't just quick run to the hospital, get a checkup. I didn't do that. I sat there and listened inside, what should I do? And so I just say that you know, when things happen in our life, whether it's physical in your body, whether it's money, whether it's a job, whether it's a family or a spouse or whatever it is, you need to listen on the inside, because that's where life is. That's where the answer is. You've got to listen on the inside and do what? Follow those directions. Follow those directions. He will lead us into all truth. And, you know, just not to get sidetracked, but, you know, Charles Capps used to teach on this over and over and over in his seminars. And he used to talk about how people would decree and say, I'm going to get this job. I'm going to do this. God is filling my account with money. It is in situations where it didn't look that way. And he'd say they'd be sitting at home and they'd hear in their spirit, pick up the newspaper and turn, you know, go over and look at this. And they'd follow it, and they'd see, oh, and they something would jump off the page. They'd go follow that, and they would get this great job. And he said, but on the other hand, he'd heard stories where people would say, I don't know, I'll just never, you know, everything always bad happens to me. I don't know what's going on. You know, I don't know what's going on, you know. And so what happened? You're speaking death words. You're opening the door up for your spirit to try to fulfill the words that you're speaking. Because your spirit man will lead you. The Holy Ghost will guide you. But also, if you speak death words, you're calling something that what? Be not as though it is. Because death and life is in the power of the tongue. And so you want to have good things happen, you speak those things that are good. Begin to call things that are good into your life. But he said, in situations like that, he said he'd heard where somebody just made negative comments about that. And they pick up something, follow it out, get the job, and been there a week, got canned, got laid off. See? Because you're speaking words into existence, and it's going to try to fulfill that. So we need to just be conscious of what we say. Be conscious of those things. Don't say, I can't afford that. Don't say, I don't know how I'm ever going to be able to do that. Don't ever say, I just don't know how. I don't know. I refuse to say, you know, I'm getting older, getting tired, or getting slower. No. No. You want to be crickety? Go right ahead. No, sir. Because what did that just say? He said, if you remove yourself from all evil, it said it will be health to you and moistening to your bones. right? You want to say, don't say, well, you know, God, I hear people, I don't say anything. I just go, well, if you say so. But I hear people say it all the time. They come up and they say, well, you know what happens when you get older? No, what happens? Tell me. And they tell you. Because that's what they fed on this lie that's been perpetrated so much that they say, well, you know, your mind just ain't as good when you get older. You know what I say? If you say so. If you say so. If you say so. No, we need to say I'm bright. I'm sharp. He reveals things to me. Because what does it say? It says if you trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will do what? Let you bump around. No, it says he'll direct you and guide you. So, to me, if he's going to direct me and guide me, then that means I'm going to have wisdom. I'm going to have his wisdom, and I'm going to know what to do and when to do it. Amen. We're not that bright. But with him, we are. You know, on our own, we're not that bright. I already proved that. And most of us have, too. We already made a mess of our lives one way or another until we got God in it, and he helped us out. That's the truth. If you can't say that, say, oh, me, as Brother Hagin used to say. Because it's true anyways. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8 again. Or not again, but we were in Romans chapter 5. But let's go over to Romans chapter 8. And let me read this in the King James. It says in verse 8 of chapter 8, it says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That just means living a flesh life. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. That just means mortal. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We just got done reading that. We are the righteousness of God. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Hallelujah. So the Amplified says, and if, in verse 11, and if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal short-lived, perishable bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Glory to God. The New Living Translation, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Glory to God. Listen to the Young's Literal Translation. It says, and if the Spirit of him who did raise up Jesus out of the dead, I like the way he said that. He raised up Jesus out of the dead, doth dwell in you. He who did raise up the Christ out of the dead shall quicken also your dying bodies. Oh my. Yes, sir. He shall quicken our dying bodies. What does that mean? Give life to it. Make alive. Restore. Glory to God. So sickness is a curse, but Christ, Galatians 3:13, Christ has what? Redeemed us from the curse of the law. Doing what? Being made a curse for us. That's what we just got done right. He was made dead. He was made sick for us. And so when he was raised from the, I like the way the young says, when he was raised out of the dead and up out of the dead, he came and will give life to these dead bodies, these mortal bodies. Or the young says, these dying bodies. Hallelujah. What does that mean? That means that sin is in this, we're mortal, we're not immortal yet until Jesus returns. We're caught up to meet him. This mortal puts on immortality. But in the meantime, isn't it wonderful to think, this sometimes just is the amazing love of God. He's so passionate towards mankind, so full of love towards mankind, that he came here, sent Jesus to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, took our sins and our sicknesses. And if that's not enough, he redeemed us and then came and knew we're weak in these flesh and gave us his word, which would have been enough. But he gave us the Holy Ghost to help us, to unfold and reveal the word of God to us. I'm telling you, that's exciting to me. That's just exciting to me, that the word of God is full of the life of God, the Zoe life of God. And if we get enough of that word in us, in our spirits, that's what we've been teaching on, the power of the seed, the power of the word of God. That word will cause life to come and flow into these spirits and change. We've got to be like Brother Hagin. We've got to be so convinced of the word of God that when we take it, every time we take that, it's like taking medicine, right? It's taking medicine into our spirits, life into my spirit. Every time I read it, every time I feed it, feed upon it. Hallelujah. So we need to be absolutely convinced sickness is a manifestation of spiritual death, or you could say the fruit of spiritual death. That's what sickness is. So Christ purchased our freedom. That's amplified. Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse or the doom of the law. Hallelujah. We're redeemed from it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's turn over to Psalm 107 for a moment. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for what? He is good. Who's good? The Lord is good. For his mercy endureth forever. What is healing? Healing is a mercy. Forgiveness is a mercy. It's a mercy. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath what? Redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I'm redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I'm redeemed from sickness and disease. I'm redeemed from poverty. I'm redeemed from confusion. I'm redeemed from it. I like the New Living. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. Glory to God. He's redeemed us. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. We shared this in the previous class. We'll share it again. Well, I didn't share this. It is wrong for us to have sickness and a disease in our bodies when God laid those diseases on Jesus. Why allow it in your body? He put them on Jesus. That's you allowing sin to come into your life and not saying, no, no. We're too quick to allow sickness and something in our bodies that was laid on Jesus. So I'll say that again. It is wrong for us to have sickness and disease in our bodies when God laid those diseases on Jesus. Now, don't get into a guilt trip over this. Don't say, yeah, but it's in my body. Okay. You got a burglar in your house. What do you do? Say, oh, you kick him out. You got a trespasser in your house. You kick him out. You don't allow somebody who's trespassing on your body that's been redeemed. You say, no, you have to leave. And you begin to do what? Take your medicine. Take the word of God. Begin to stand up and say, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. What is that scripture? I'll read it to you. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 says, for we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we don't allow sickness and disease. We don't allow things into us, in my spirit or my body, which has been purchased. I don't own myself anymore. I'm his property. And so I'm going to glorify him, and I'm going to remind the devil and sickness and disease, you're not welcome in this body. You're not welcome here. You're not allowed here. What does the scripture say? Matthew 18, it says, what things soever you what? Bind on earth or bound in heaven. What things soever you loose on earth or loosed in heaven. Most of the modern translations say whatever you forbid on earth is forbidden in heaven. Whatever you allow on earth is allowed in heaven. So if you allow something, heaven stands right there and allows it because what? You allowed it. So we've been given dominion and authority in the name of Jesus, in his body. He gave all authority and dominion back to the church. He's the head of the church. And we're to do what? Operate in that dominion. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So as we were sharing earlier, the object of his, he made us righteous. So the object of his sin bearing was that we be made righteous. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:21. Him who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he bore our sins. So we're saying the object of his sin bearing was that we become righteous. That's what the scripture says. We became the righteousness of God in him. Well, the object of his bearing our sicknesses and becoming a curse is that we become whole and healthy. So we're not to bear something that he's already borne. He bore our sins. Why bear them again? It says he bore them once for all. And he did the same for sickness. See? He bore it once. He bore sickness for everybody, once for all. That's what the scripture says. Christ hath, that's once, hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. It didn't say he continued. It said he hath redeemed us. Hath means it's done. And so he redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So the disease bearing makes healing a reality for us. Now, if we're not walking in that, then you need to decree it. You need to say what the word says. Just like the centurion said, I'm not worthy that you should come unto my house. Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You know, like Brother Hagin said, I just double dog dare you, call those things that be not as though they are. You begin to say them. Just like Charles Capps, you know, he could have given up with the poison ivy on his skin. He could have just given up and said, well, it's not working. Let me just keep using the calamine lotion. But he didn't. He kept speaking the promises of God. He kept saying, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, and poison ivy is a curse. And I'm redeemed from it. He still used the calamine lotion. Calamine lotion not greater than the word of God. Calamine lotion not greater than the life of God. And it got to the place where he said, I'd go into the woods, grab the poison ivy, and it never bothered me. So sickness is not the love of God. God is love. Disease is a robber. It steals. Steals our time, steals our money, steals everything. Sickness and disease does. And what did he say? I came that you have what? Life, and life more abundantly. So we need to keep that in our minds and not focus. That's why when sometimes it's good to keep meditating on these scriptures. Proverbs 4, it says, my son, attend unto my words. What does that mean? Give it your undivided attention. Keep thinking about that. Keep thinking about just the fact, thank you, Jesus, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Sickness is not greater than your blood. The blood of Jesus has redeemed me from the curse of the law. The name of Jesus is greater. And so in Jesus' name, I decree it. I command it. Just reading some of these stories about how, you know, that we were, I think we read one earlier how Brother Hagin was talking about, he got this emergency call and he, you know, this little boy had an infection and they prayed over the little boy and then it started affecting his kidneys. We read it earlier in the previous class and the father said, the doctor said he only had minutes to live. And so he said that he told the little boy, here's what you say. You say, I will live and not die, and this sickness will not be unto death. And he said, you just keep saying that. And he said, I will live and not die. And he said, this little boy, he said, he said it and 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 said it, and he lived. You know, I shared earlier, I'll share it again. It was an experience I personally had. A member here, still a member here. Their son got caught up in some things he shouldn't have been doing, running with people he shouldn't have been running with, and they jumped him, and they left him for dead. They sliced him up pretty good, and he was running with some bad people, and so anyways, they sliced his throat, they sliced his ear, and they got him in the butt. And so I was coming into my residence, and, you know, I got all my bags and stuff, and I got my phone. I hear bring, 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 and I'm getting my phone ringing. So I'm jockeying from my phone, and a mother screaming on the other end. This was 5 or 6 years, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, screaming on the other end, "My son's dying, he's dying, he's on the operating table, he's dying, he's not going to live, blah, blah," you know, just going on, hysterical. And I said, "No, he's not going to die, he's going to live." I just said that by faith. I did. I said, "He's not going to die, he's going to live." And right down here, I heard, I'm serious, and all the noise and the screaming, I heard right down here very clearly, "Yes, he is going to live, and I'm going to spare his life, but he's going to have to make some different choices in life." And so we hung up, and, you know, not long after that, she said to me, "You know, as soon as you hung up, the doctors got it. He lived." Because something I didn't know, that when they stab you here, there's a main artery in here, in this area of your body. And if they get it, it's very difficult for the doctors to get it. And you bleed out. You die. So people that do that, they know what they're doing. And they intended to kill him. See, but God spared him. And so, you know, again, all that being said, that, you know, we need to call some things that, and just in some situations, we need to just speak by faith. You do this, say this. And in cases, God will spare people. If they believe, you know, and hook up with your words, God will spare them. That's what Brother Hagin was sharing in these testimonies. And getting people to believe the words that you speak. Believe your own words. You see? And you'll walk in health. You'll walk in freedom. And I think sometimes we need to keep meditating on that, that God is on my side. He's here to help me. He's a good God. He wants my best and is concerned about me. And if we'll just listen on the inside and follow his word, we'll walk in the blessings of God. And we just need to keep that, no matter how, I don't want to use the word experience, but no matter how mature you are in the things of God, there's always more to learn about God. You're never going to get enough to know about who this God is that you serve. And so you'll be thinking, "Oh my God, God is so good." And then he'll open up a little something. You'll go, "Oh my God, I had no idea he loved me that much." And he'll reveal to you in a greater measure of just how much he paid for you to walk in the blessings of God. And I think sometimes for me, that's the wonderful thing about growing in Christ, is that as we grow, he begins to reveal himself little by little by little as you seek him. As you continue to seek him, he begins to open himself up more to you and how to walk in the blessings of God. You know, I remember, I'll just close with this. Years ago, I always say this, but I was fruitful in the area of health in my body, healing, because I worked the word. I said it all the time. I confessed it. I meditated on healing scriptures, and I spoke them every day. And I walked in health, walked in divine health. And so that was not the case in my finances. My finances were hurting. And so I'm sowing 30%. And I'm not seeing the harvest. And I didn't complain. I'm thinking in my mind, I didn't voice it, but I'm thinking, what's up with this? And I remember in a time of prayer, I was speaking something. And there was some symptoms in my body, some very extreme symptoms. And I was speaking, and I started to laugh. I just started to laugh at the symptoms. Wasn't inspired to laugh. I just said, "I'm healed. I'm going to laugh." And so The Holy Ghost began to speak to me about my finances in that setting and told me, this is what he said. He said, if you'll work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. Well, I'll tell you, that got my attention because he knew what I was thinking. I never said it or voiced it. He already knew what I was thinking, and he gave me the formula. He said it in a way that I knew exactly what to do. He said, if you'll do this over here, the same way you're doing this, you won't have room enough to contain all the money. So sometimes we're complaining to God, I'm doing this, and I'm not seeing the money. I'm not seeing this. I'm not seeing the blessings. Well, look about 1 inch below your nose. And it might be that's where the problem is. We're talking and calling those things that are, and we should be calling those things that are not as though they are. Don't say, I can't afford this. Don't say, I've got a limited income. Don't say things that restrict you. It may be. You may be on a limited income in the natural. You may only have X amount of money to live on. But don't say, I can't because. Because now you're saying the God you serve is not big enough to bring to pass a harvest for the seed you sow. See? And you're shutting down the blessings of God by your words. And we need to continue to say, and say it, 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 I sowed my seed into the ground, and I'm expecting an abundant harvest on my return, on my giving. This is where we live. This is where we live. Whether it's health or finances, this is where we live. If you're not seeing a harvest, I like what one minister said. If you're not seeing a harvest in your area, you need to do a soil check. Because it might be there's been a crop failure. And you need to check and see, did I plant seed? Am I watering seed? Because if I am, then I can expect a harvest. Right? Amen. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm preaching to me too. I need to hear it over and over and over again. This is watering. I'm telling you, it's watering. I remember about, I must have been about 8 or 9 years ago. Might have been a little less. But I remember I was just weighed down in my mentally, you understand what I mean by that? Just weighed down mentally with just what was going on here, just things, finances, just all of that, right? And it was weighing on me. And I remember leaving here and heading home, and the Holy Ghost began to speak to me. Oh, man, this is all he said to me. He said, what did I say? The people will come and the money will come. And boy, I just said, Yahoo, yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus. I'm serious. I had a dance. Because sometimes the Holy Ghost has to remind you, stop dwelling on what you see. Keep focused on what I've said to you and keep focused on my word. And don't let circumstances determine that. That's why when I was reading this in the earlier class, which is so true, this was something out of F.F. Bosworth's book on healing. But it's the application's the same. This is what he said on Christ the Healer. He said, we should realize that the five senses belong to the natural man and that they were given to us to be used for the things of this world. So the five senses were given to me for the use in this world. This is what he says. But the things of God cannot be discerned, appropriated, and known by the natural senses. You can't know the things of God through your natural senses. And this is what he says. No physical sensation, such as pain, weakness, or sickness, now he's talking about sickness and disease here, can ever be a good reason for doubting the fulfillment of any divine purpose. If God said you're redeemed from the curse of the law and your body says something else, you can't use those symptoms as a reason to determine a divine promise from God, not your physical senses. I've been redeemed from this stuff. And that's the same thing. When he said no physical sensation, you could say lack of money, not enough money. Is ever a good reason to doubt a divine promise from God? No matter what we're walking through, can never be a good reason to doubt the fulfillment of any divine promise. Can't be. It cannot be. Glory to God. Praise God. Let's say that I've been redeemed from the curse of the law through Christ. Glory to God. He redeemed me. And the devil knows it. And all he does is he tries to mess with your five physical senses to get you to do what? Question the word of God. And we need not do that. We need to say, just like Jesus, it is written. It is written. And he'll back down. Praise God. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us that your word is full of life and health and blessing and all those promises. Everything we need for life and godliness is in your precious word, your precious promises. We thank you for it. Thank you for healing our bodies. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you that our bones are moistened. Thank you, Father, that we reject evil in our lives. We oppose it. And we turn from that which is not good to that which is good. We thank you, Father, that in some times in our lives, we've been a fool. So, Father, if we've been a fool, we repent for that and we turn towards you. We turn our hearts towards heaven and your word. We thank you, Father, that your goodness will be seen through each one of us. Your health and healing and your prosperity will be seen through each one of us. And we thank you for it. And Satan, I bind you and forbid you to continue to operate and touch people's lives and their bodies in this congregation. I forbid you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that we're whole, we're healthy, we're strong, we're bright, we're sharp, we're wise, and we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God.